We're continuing a summer of Proverbs, and as I prepared this week, Trey came into my office one day this week, and we were just talking, and he was actually telling me about a dream that he had. He said he usually doesn't have dreams or he doesn't remember his dreams, and he just said he came out of this dream with basically one phrase, and that is, give me a vessel. Give me a vessel. And as soon as he told me, I thought about the story of Elisha and the widow, and we're going to talk about that story. But I felt like God led me to speak, in continuing in Proverbs, to speak on an empty vessel today. Now, I grew up seeing all kind of vessels. When I thought vessel, the first thing that I thought of was an old churn that my parents had, a butter churn. I'm showing you about how tall it is in case you're wondering what this is. And it was ceramic, and it had a lid with a hole in it, and there was a stick that came through that hole, and you would churn the butter. How many of you have ever seen a churn like that? So I grew up seeing that, and my dad actually used it to make pickles in. I never saw anything churned in it, but he would put his cucumbers in there and make pickles. I also remember we had a big cast iron kettle that stayed out in the yard. It was too big to bring inside, and we cooked in that over a fire, or back in the day, they might have even washed clothes in it. But how many of you have ever seen those big cast iron kettles? We scalded a turkey in it is what I've done. I mean, now we're getting somewhere, right? You don't know what scalding a turkey is. That's when you take him and you dip him down in real hot water, and it makes the feathers easier to come out. You know, when you kill a wild turkey, he didn't come wrapped in plastic, you know, that says Butterball on him. You have to, okay. Just good stuff for you this morning. Vessels. My mom, I think I've told you before about my mom's big green Tupperware bowl that she kept flour in and made biscuits in. It's just, as I began to think about different vessels, I mean, we had a 1969 stepside truck that the bed of that thing became a vessel many times for different stuff. We would pull in the corn patch and pick corn and just throw it over into that truck and just fill the bed of that truck up with corn. Then as it got old, now I'm going to tell you about redneck living, we parked it down in the corner of the yard, and it became a vessel for trash until we cranked it up and went to the dump. Boy, howdy, I'm just giving y'all all kind of culture today. Vessels. Well, Jesus refers to us, Paul refers to us, and we're going to see today that God refers to us as vessels, that we are actually vessels. And a vessel is made to hold something. And we were literally created to house the Holy Spirit, to hold the Holy Spirit, to have the presence of God living in us. And that's what happens when we become a Christ follower. But this morning, God is looking for an empty vessel. Everybody say, empty vessel. Let's start with Proverbs 25:4. As we continue our summer of Proverbs, take away the dross from the silver, okay? Dross is impurities, right? And so to purify any precious metal, it has to be heated up. And the hotter it gets, the more impurities that you can get out of it. So here's the wisdom saying from Proverbs, take away the dross from the silver. In other words, get the impurities out of the metal, out of the silver. And the smith has material for a vessel. Now, once I get the impurities out, now I can make a vessel out of it. How many of you know sometimes life gets hot, and we have to go through fiery trials sometimes, and sometimes the hotter it gets, though, the more it exposes our impurities. You know, sometimes if you touch something hot, whatever's in you will come out, you know. You may say, help me, Jesus, or you may say something else. But heat, fire, will make whatever's in you come out. And sometimes God allows us to go through fiery trials or hard things, stressful situations. He's with us. He walks with us. He gives us his peace, but he also lets us go through some things so that he can purify us, so that now he has a vessel that's easy to work with, ready to work with. Let's look at a story in 2 Kings about vessels. This is the story of the widow and the widow and the oil. Now the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord. But the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." So this is what happened back in those days, is if you couldn't pay your debt, that your creditor could come and kind of take your sons as indentured servants or slaves, as the term is used, and work off the debt. Let's look at verse 2. And Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in the house." And she said, "Your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go outside, borrow vessels from all of your neighbors, empty vessels and not a few." All right, so here, go get some vessels, but don't just get a few. Make sure they're empty, but get a lot of them. "Then go in and shut the door behind yourself and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside." So she went from him and shut the door behind herself and her sons. As she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another." Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on the rest." I want us to look at this story as we talk about an empty vessel this morning, and realizing that we're all empty vessels. There comes a time in life where we find ourselves crying out. This widow's husband had died. He was a son of a prophet. And she cried out to Elisha the prophet and said, "Hey, prophet, listen, you know me. You knew my husband. He was a good man. He was a son of the prophets. But he's dead, and now I'm desperate. Now I have to do something because my sons are going to be sold into slavery, and something has to happen." So she desperately cried out to the prophet. Here's something I want you to see this morning is desperate times call for desperate measures. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And I don't know what situation you're in your life today, but I can assure you some of us are in desperate times. She had a debt that she couldn't pay. She was not going to be able to get out from under this. So she cried out and she said, "Listen, I have a history. My husband was a man of God." Some of you have history in here this morning. Excuse me. You were raised in church. You know about God. You have a history of following God. And you're in a desperate time in life. And I believe God is calling some of you back to your history of following God and knowing God and crying out to God. And maybe you don't have a history. Maybe you weren't raised in church. And that's okay, because you can make your own history this morning as an empty vessel. Make history. This is a desperate time. These are desperate days. We all do things that we regret. We all have regrets in life and hopes in life. But God is calling for a desperate people that will say, "God, I just want to cry out to you." I want to challenge you today, as I did in the first service. It was also my favorite service, 8:30. Do this. If you've never cried out to God, if you've never spoken to God out loud, when you go home today, get by yourself somewhere, out in the shop, in a closet, wherever, driving down the road by yourself, and speak out loud to God. The widow's life changed when she cried out. And there is something about hearing your voice speak to God out loud. I can't explain it. I can tell you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But something changes when you speak out loud to God. And I want to challenge you today, if you don't get anything else, get alone with God today. And we're going to talk about how she got alone, and speak out loud to God, and let him know that you have an empty vessel. Here's what the prophet said. The prophet said, "Okay, you're in trouble. I get that. You have debt. I get that. So what do you have in your house?" And the widow said, "Nothing. I don't have anything." Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever just felt like you didn't have anything to offer God? Have you ever felt like that? I don't have what it takes to get out of this mess that I'm in. I don't have what it takes to be a blessing to someone, and certainly not me. Such a failure. I don't have anything to bring to the table, and I'm at the end. I don't know what to do. And this is where this widow was. She says, I don't have anything in the house. There's nothing there. It's the same kind of question that God asked Moses when he was speaking to him from the burning bush. He said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? And I can just see Moses just saying, well, I have a stick. All I have is a staff. That's all I've got. How many of you know God used that staff, first of all, to turn into a snake and then back into a staff? And then he held it out over the sea, and the water parted, and he hit a rock with it, and water came from the rock. God used what Moses had in his hand. Are you with me? And he's asking this widow, what do you have in your house? And she says, nothing. And I know that's how some of us feel today, is I don't have anything you can use. I don't know what to use. And then she says, well, except, what do you have in your house? When Jesus called the disciples, they were a bunch of fishermen. And they're just holding nets. And he says, okay, I'm going to meet you where you are. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you fishers of men. See, you don't have anything except you know how to fish. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is an exception in your life. When you think you don't have anything to offer God, when you think you're at the end and there's nothing left to do and there's no hope, there is an exception. Because you can say, Lord, I don't have anything except I am a vessel. I have an empty vessel, and I'll let you pour into me. You know what? You all have something that God can use. This past Thursday, I went fishing with Ron. Ron Bergeron has asked me to go fishing since I moved here, and I finally just took the time and went fishing with him. Got up at my normal time, about 4:30 in the morning. And, man, we had a good time. But I'm telling you, I was telling Murphy about it. Murphy's been fishing with Ron too. And I said, you know, he caught big, huge redfish. Two nice ones, but one just really big one. I'm not exaggerating. It was this long. I caught one about that far from a stump. But mine was smaller for sure. But it's just something how, he said, isn't that something how you can be fishing with Ron and you know, you're throwing in the same places, you're using the same bait, and he always catches more fish and bigger fish. I said, yeah, that's something about a fisherman. And Evan was out there with us, his little 5-year-old boy, and I always see Evan, love to see him running up to church. Now he's my fishing buddy, but I was like, man, 5-year-old, you know, he's gonna get in the way. And he got in the way all right. He was up there throwing that rod out there like a champ. I was like, quit throwing in my spot, man. Get on the other side of the boat. he was awesome. But Ron is a great fisherman. And you know what he does? He uses that. God uses that skill to fish to be a blessing to people. And Ron, you know, if he takes someone out there that's not a Christ follower, what a day. They get to have a great day of fishing. They get to see, man, you know, here's a man doing what he enjoys, and we're not sinning. Nothing bad is happening. And you can live that kind of life for God. Isn't that awesome? What is it, then, that's in your house? There is an exception. You think you don't have anything. You think that you don't have anything for God to pour into. But can I tell you, when you feel like there's nothing left, could it be that God all the while has a plan to use you if you will just say, Lord, you know what? I'm the vessel. I'm the empty vessel. If you will pour into me, then I'll pour into others. If you will give me your spirit, then I'll let that spirit spill over to others. Could it be? So when he tells her to go get vessels, he says, don't get just a few. Now, go get some vessels, but not a few. This reminds me of the story of Jesus when he's at a wedding party, and some of you aren't going to be comfortable with the facts of this Bible story, but this is exactly what it says in the Bible. It says that they had been partying for 3 days. So, I mean, they were The Bible says they were drunk. They've been partying for 3 days, and they ran out of wine. So Mama, Mary, the mother of Jesus, comes over to Jesus and says, I need you to do something about this. And I love this interaction because this is a mama and a son talking here. He says, woman, it's not my time. I can't be doing that. And if you read that, it's like she don't even pay attention. It's like, boy, do what I said, you know? And he does. It's that mama. How many of you know even Jesus knew he better do what his mama said, right? Yeah, true. Read the story. So he says, give me those pots right there. There were some pots in the house, empty vessels. And he said, bring me those vessels. And he said, now fill them up with water. And they filled them up with water. And as they began to pour it out, the water was changed into wine. I don't know if it still looked like water, but it tasted wine, or I don't know if it turned red or what happened, but I know this, it turned into wine. And it was so good that the guy that was head of the party said, man, most of the time at the end of the party, when everybody's drunk, that's when you bring out the cheap wine because nobody cares. He said, but you brought the best for last. Read your Bible. I don't interpret it how you want to interpret it, but that's what it says. I can tell you this. Jesus is holding the best for last for you. He's looking for an empty vessel to fill. Just like this widow, when the prophet said, go get some vessels, but don't just get a few. Get a lot of them. You know why? Because I want you to have faith for abundance. I want you to have faith that you're going to get more than enough. Not just enough to pay your bills, not just enough to pay your debt, but enough to live on. Go get a lot of vessels. And can you imagine as she goes in and she has all of these vessels, and the Bible says she shut the door and she closed herself in with her two sons. If you want God to pour into your life, there's going to come a time when you have to close the door on some things. She closed the door on the outside world. She closed the door. There comes a time when we have to close the door on the world. We have to close the door on unforgiveness, close the door on sin, on hurt, on shame, whatever it is that keeps us from allowing God to pour into us. So she closes the door. And can you imagine her exception? The only thing she had was this one little jar of oil. I picture a mason jar, right? Y'all know what a mason jar is, like a pint jar. And we usually have, you put jelly and stuff in them, but they're good to drink tea out of, right? Don't you just wish you had a big, tall glass of iced tea, good sweet tea, in a mason jar, and you could rattle the glass right now? Wouldn't that be good? Yeah, well, me too. I like doing that to y'all, especially after you've had two cups of coffee, and that would be really good to chase it with that cold iced tea, right? Well, okay, never mind. It has nothing to do with what I'm preaching on. But she has this little jar, and I picture it, and it's full of oil. Can you imagine? Now there's all of these vessels in this room, and she's closed in and she's alone. And probably water vessels, tall ones, short ones, skinny ones, fat ones, just vessels. I'm not saying anything. Bald ones, whatever. Vessels. But there comes a point where she's going to pour. I mean, can you just imagine that moment where, okay, I'm about to see if this works. There's always a point in what God is calling us to, individually and as a church, where we have to say, okay, I'm about to see if this works. I've heard about it. It's been preached on. I've prayed about it. But there comes a point where I'm going to see, all right, is this going to work? God has poured into me. Now I'm going to pour out. I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to go out on the edge. I'm going to speak to someone at school. I'm going to speak to someone on the job. I'm going to fight for my marriage, fight for my finances, fight for my children, whatever it takes. I'm about to see if this works. So she starts pouring this oil out of a little jar. Can you imagine as she pours, this big pot begins to fill up. And it just keeps pouring. And that had to be the coolest sight ever. It's to just watch. Y'all see me holding this little mason jar, right? Just And it keeps pouring, and it keeps pouring until this big pot is full. And then she lifts it up, and she turns, and it's still full in the jar. Then she goes to the next one, and it keeps pouring, and it keeps pouring. And as long as there was an empty vessel in the house, the oil kept flowing. Can I tell you, as long as there is an empty vessel in your house, as long as there is an empty vessel in this church, and we come to God and we say, Lord, I want to see if this works. Would you pour into me? Then the oil of the Spirit will flow if we cry out to God in desperation and say, God, fill me up. And not only that, fill me up enough that I can give to others. Not just pay my debt, but I can live off of it. I can take care of my sons. Keep pouring. Keep pouring. I know some of you are saying, I've done this a long time, Pastor, and I'm looking at my little jar, and it doesn't look like it's enough. It doesn't look like it's enough. Two fish and five loaves of bread didn't look like enough either. Jesus said, what do we have? Do you see a trend here? Moses, what's that in your hand? Disciples, what do we have? Well, we only have these two fish and five loaves of bread, but we got 5,000 men to feed, probably 7,000 or so with women and children. It's not enough, Jesus. How many of you know what it's like to say, it's not enough? I don't have enough. It's not enough. There's not enough in my house. There's not enough in me. There's not enough in my marriage. It's just not enough. I know what that's like. I know what it's like to be empty and feel like it's not enough. But can I tell you, Jesus makes it enough if we just keep pouring. God, it's not enough, but I'm going to keep loving. God, I don't see this person changing, but I'm going to keep forgiving. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen with my children, but I'm going to keep praying for them. God, I don't know what you're going to do in my life, but I'm coming back to you, and I'm going to let you do what you want to in my life. I'm going to let you pour into me, but you have to keep pouring out. There's no way to pour into a full vessel. We have to empty ourselves out, and it's a process every day of emptying ourselves and letting God fill us, pouring out to others and letting God fill us again. So if I can encourage you this morning, I want to encourage you to keep pouring. Don't give up. Keep giving. Keep giving your time. Keep giving forgiveness. Keep giving love. Keep giving grace. Keep giving mercy. Don't give up on pouring out. Don't stop the flow. I know you're hurting. I know you're confused. I know you're let down. I know you're disappointed. I know you have regrets. But don't stop pouring. People let you down. I'll let you down. Your spouse, your children, your parents will let you down. But don't stop pouring. Don't stop pouring. What is it that's made you stop? What is it that's caused you to stop pouring? That's said, this is all I have. I can imagine if that little widow woman had looked at that jar and said, I can't pour this out. This is all I have. I have to protect this. I have to hold on to this. If she had not let go of what she thought was the only thing left, I want to say this again. If she had not let go of what she thought was the only thing left, she would have never seen the miracle. She would have never seen more than enough. She went from not enough to more than enough. And that's what God wants to do in your life. When you don't feel like enough, you don't feel like you have anything to give, you don't feel worthy, God wants to pour into you so that you have more than enough. Paul said, we have this treasure in clay vessels. Can you imagine something very, very precious, something very, very valuable, but you don't put it in a safe? It's in a fragile vessel. And that's what Paul says about us. When God pours into us, he says, he's pouring this great treasure, which is his Spirit, his presence, into a clay vessel. Something very humble. It's always God's pleasure to pour into a clay vessel. So this morning, you may feel unworthy. You may feel scarred. You may feel like you've got some cracks in that vessel. But God is saying, that's all right. I put my treasure in clay vessels. Put my treasure in people who think they don't have enough so that I can give them more than enough. Would you stand with me as Trey comes? Desperate times call for desperate measures. I think it's a season for all of us to be desperate for God. I said last week that the drug addict is hungry for God. The guy that's addicted to pornography is hungry for God. The person that's out there trying to fill their life with things and material things and pleasure and more money, they're hungry for God. We're all hungry for God. It's just that sometimes we don't realize that he's what we're hungry for. We don't realize that he's what's missing. So we chase these other things to try to fill us up and to try to satisfy us. And it only gives us temporary satisfaction. So we're all desperate in one way or another. We're all hungry. And desperate times call for desperate measures. Desperate repentance. Desperate mercy. Desperate grace. Whatever the situation is today, today is the day to cry out to God. To just stop where you are, just like the widow did to the prophet, and say, God, I'm in a desperate situation here. I need you. I need a miracle. Here's all I have, Lord. This is it. This is all I've got. This is what's in my house. It's an empty vessel. It's me. Can you work with this? I can assure you he will. Would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? I just want to pray with you this morning. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me today. I'm an empty vessel. Maybe you've tried to fill your life with other things lately, but today you just say, you know what? I'm an empty vessel and I need God to pour into me. I need him. I need him to pour healing into me. I need him to pour hope into me. Forgiveness, whatever it is. If that's you and you say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? Would you just slip up your hand while nobody's looking around? I want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Yes, let's pray. Father, we love you. We are desperate for you, God. Lord, we fail. Your word says that even though we completely fall seven times, completely, that your righteousness helps us to get back up. So I pray for the one who has fallen, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that you would pour into them so that they would get back up. Lord, I pray for the ones who's calling on you to pour into their lives, that they're desperate, Lord. They have a need. Maybe it's on the job, Lord. Maybe it's finances or in a relationship. Maybe they're struggling with a habit. Whatever it is, God, I pray that you would pour into them today, that your spirit of healing and life would flow. I pray, Lord, not just a little bit, but that you would fill them to overflowing. For each person, Lord, that raised their hand, that you would pour into them in such a way that they would be a blessing to others. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If the prayer team would come. When you feel like you have nothing left, the widow said, I don't have anything in the house. There's nothing that can help me except. I just want to remind you again today that there is an exception in your life. There is a gift that God has given you. There is a way that he wants to use you. If you'll just be that empty vessel, go get some vessels today. Let God fill them up for you. Are you ready to do that? In a moment, I'm going to dismiss you. The prayer team is here. Today, this week, one of my daughters texted me and said, I need to borrow some faith. And I liked that because I knew she got that from me, that term, borrow some faith. That's the way you get sometimes. I just need to borrow some faith. I don't have a lot of faith. And that's what the prayer team is here for, to let you borrow some faith, to loan you their faith and pray with you and believe with you for healing in your body, healing in your marriages, relationships, finances, whatever it is. Don't miss the opportunity to let someone pray with you in faith today. I'm going to dismiss you. May God bless you and keep you. May His joy and laughter spill from the doors and windows of your homes this week. May His peace cover you like a blanket. May faith rise up in your life and favor come. May God give you favor and open doors that no man can close this week in the name of Jesus. I love you. We'll see you next Sunday. And if you need prayer, please come and get prayer.